Let's turn to the Word of God. I hope you have your Bible with you. And we're turning this morning to the book of Joshua. And our reading is Joshua chapter 7. Now we're going to read the whole chapter, which has 26 verses. But don't worry about the length of the chapter. Again, it bears no resemblance to the length of the sermon. The length of the sermon is the same anyway, no matter what passage of scripture we read together. Joshua chapter 7 verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning, and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. God will bless his word to our heart. Now just a few seconds of prayer. Our subject this morning is Achan's sin in the sight of God. And as believers, we need to be wise to sin as to its nature and its seriousness and how to deal with it if it ever arises in our lives. So let's just pray that as we look at this extremely important subject, God will guide us and illuminate us and bless us. Father, we come to you in these quiet moments. We esteem them very highly. They will soon pass and be gone forever. And we'll be facing a very difficult and a very wicked world this week. And Father, you want us to be holy. You have said, Be ye holy, for I am holy. Help us to be holy, we pray today. Help us to have a detestation of sin. And help us to deal with it as God wants us to. And help us to be a people known for purity in an age of iniquity. Bright lights in a dark world. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Two of the churches addressed by the Lord Jesus in the book of Revelation were charged with a very serious offense. The churches were Pergamos and Thyatira. And both churches were charged with tolerating evil. Now, we don't know the nature of the heresies they tolerated. They happened a long time ago. We do know they involved idolatry and sexual promiscuity. But the problem was that those heresies were being tolerated in the church. People were putting up with them instead of putting the folk out who taught them. Indeed, as far as the church at Thyatira was concerned, the Lord Jesus spoke of a woman who was a self-styled prophetess. And he says, I have something against you because you tolerate that woman Jezebel. Someone who should have been put out, they were putting up with. Now that's an unusual thing, isn't it? Or is it? Do Christians put up with things they should put away? You see, the level of our tolerance sometimes is far too high. Because the level of tolerance in the world around us is very high. There's a lot of sin being tolerated today in the world, even in high places. There's a lot of perversion being tolerated in the world today. There's a lot of dishonesty being tolerated. Is it possible that we too are tolerating things we should be intolerant of, and putting up with things we should be putting away? Now that's the lesson of Achan. It's a rather horrifying story, isn't it? We sort of recoil from it. It's a tragic story. Here's a man who did not die honorably in battle, but miserably in judicial execution. Now, what is God saying to us through this chapter? God is saying in broad principle, I will not tolerate sin. There was a man in Israel who had to be put away. And his putting away was so severe, if you look at the final verses of the chapter, everything he had was burned with fire, until eventually there was nothing of him left. And it was only then that Israel could go on and fight and conquer. Now there isn't an exact parallel with our lives and the time of the conquest. We don't want to make that. We are not soldiers fighting in the army of Israel. We are not going to go out next week and see a goodly Babylonish garment, shekels of silver and a wedge of gold. But what we've got to learn from Joshua chapter 7 is this. If there's anything offensive to God in our lives, we must have done with it. And if we don't have done with it, we cannot make any spiritual progress. As long as Achan was tolerated in Israel, the nation couldn't take one step forward. The land was closed to them. Progress was impossible. Now this is serious. It's profound and it's personal. And I can't deal with the things in your life that are offensive to God. And you can't deal with the things in my life which are offensive to God. But unless we deal with them personally and have done with them, we'll never make any progress in the sight of God. Now, how can we do that? How can we deal with the things which are offensive to God, which are sinful in the sight of God? And how can we go forward to make progress for God? Well, the only way we can do that is if we see sin as God sees it. And that's why I've called my study this morning, Achan's Sin in the Sight of God. I'm not going to take you through this chapter verse by verse. I haven't time to do that. But what I want to do this morning, very simply, and I hope helpfully with you, is take some principles from the chapter and let you see Achan's sin as God saw it. And once we see Achan's sin as God saw it, we'll be able to deal with the things in our lives which are offensive to God and hindering our progress individually and as a church. So let's look at the chapter now in that light. And if you look at verse 1, you will see a very simple thing. You will see that Achan's sin was under the scrutiny of God's eyes. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now here's a very interesting chapter. Joshua 7 is an interesting chapter because we know more than Joshua did when we read verse 1. Now you see my reasoning. We are let into a secret in verse 1. God allows us to know what Joshua didn't know, and indeed to know what the rest of the nation didn't know in verse 1. If you look down the chapter, if you're still looking at it, you will notice it is not until verse 20 that Joshua knows what we know. Joshua at that point didn't know anything. And that's why we find him in verse 6, tearing his clothes and falling to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide. All Joshua knows is that Israel has been defeated by an inferior force emanating from a small town which could have been easily taken. Joshua knows nothing about Achan's sin, but God knows everything about Achan's sin. That's what verse 1 tells us. Joshua knows nothing about Achan's sin, but God knows everything about Achan's sin. God saw the mental processes which Achan later explained. If you look at verse 21, I saw, I coveted, I took, and I hid. But that's all going on in the secrecy of Achan's mind. And that's all going on in the privacy of Achan's action. What is happening here is secret, but it's known to God. And that is why in verse 1, the anger of God blazes out immediately. This sin is committed. Do I need to expand on that principle to a congregation so well taught as you are? Do I need to tell God knows every sin we commit? And that's why the psalmist says, Thou hast set our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. And that's why the psalmist prays, Cleanse thou me from secret faults. If we are ever going to deal with sin in our lives, we must recognize this first simple scriptural principle from Joshua 7. And it is this, that Achan's sin was under the scrutiny of God's eye. Let not the preacher and let not the listener comfort themselves by thinking that those sins which we have elaborately concealed don't matter, and it's only the sins which are known which are serious. God knows your heart, and God knows my heart. And if there's anything in my heart or my life or your heart or life which only God sees, it is serious, and it has to be dealt with by the God who sees it. That's the first principle we learn from this chapter. Achan's sin was under the scrutiny of God's eye. Let's look at the second. The second principle is this. Achan's sin defied the supremacy of God's word. Now let's look at Achan's sin. Achan's sin is described for us in verses 20 and 21. We've already looked at these verses. Let's look at them again. Achan tells us how, in the course of occupying Jericho with his fellow soldiers, something happened which seemed very simple. Did you notice that? Very simple. It's often been elaborated on, even to children at a children's meeting or Sunday school. But let me just elaborate upon it again today in this morning service. Verse 20. I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of 50 shekels weight, and I coveted them and took them and I hid them. Now, when you think of warfare and the nature of fighting men, that is not an awfully complex thing that's happened. That's almost normal for soldiers. Often, you see, soldiers regarded the spoils of war as their personal possession. And often a soldier would reason like this, well, if I don't take it, somebody else will take it. Isn't that right? How often we reason like that. If I don't take it, somebody else will take it. Why should they have it and not me? But God had said, you mustn't take it. What is there has either to be burned or to be handed over to the treasury of God. And if you look at verse 21, you will notice that Achan broke three commandments. Thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Because in hiding them, he was implicitly lying to the nation. When Achan took that material and hid it in his tent, he was saying to everyone, my hands are clean. I haven't taken anything. I have no possessions from Jericho. I'm innocent. But he had coveted, he had stolen, and he had lied. Dear friends, this morning, can I say to you, no sin is simple. All sin is sinful. What you and I often deem to be a simple sin is a very complex business indeed. One lie leads to another lie. One theft leads to another theft. One step in the wrong direction leads to many steps in the wrong direction. And as you listen so quietly and so patiently this morning, we're dealing with a very important subject. No sin is simple. All sin, even the ones that you and I think are trivial, have terrific reverberations and repercussions. And they are against a holy God. Look at verse 15. And see how God describes Achan's sin. And this is the second time he has so described it in this way. He hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord's, and he hath wrought folly, or brought disgrace to Israel. It's time we were wakening up to sin. Sin is not simple. Sin is not trivial. Sin is complex. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And would to God that I, and you who hear me, could get a grasp of the seriousness of disobeying the word of God. We are far too selective about what we obey. Every command of God is God's command, and it must be obeyed. And all sin is sinful and complex and brings forth death. Let's look at the third principle. The first principle is this: Achan's sin came under the scrutiny of God's eye. God saw it. The second principle is this: Achan's sin defied the supremacy of God's word. It was serious. And the third principle is this: Achan's sin prevented the success of God's army. Look at the situation. In verse 5, the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men and chased them and smote them verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth. And then follows his loud and long and deep lamentation. Now here's an interesting thing about Achan's sin we're going to look at now. And maybe you've never looked at this before. There is a dimension in Achan's sin which is not just personal but collective. I heard our Prime Minister, who's put himself in a strange position, talk this week about collective responsibility. Collective responsibility. Now you see, if you look at verse 20, 21, you'll notice that Achan uses the personal pronoun. He says, I have sinned. And in verse 21 he says, I saw and I coveted. Get that? Achan saw it as a personal sin. But God saw it in verse 11 as a collective sin. Israel have sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant. And they have taken of the accursed thing. And they have stolen. And they've lied. But you say, Pastor, they didn't all take that loot, that garment, that silver, and that gold. They didn't all hide it. No, but they were all implicated in it. One man destroyed the possibility of a whole nation because that man was inextricably linked up in the covenant of God with the whole people. Now here's something which New Testament Christians must remember. No man liveth to himself or dies to himself. You can't be a member of this church. You can't be a regular worshipper in this church and do what you like, because you involve me when you do that. But more important, of course, you involve the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that's why Paul says, lie not one to another. That's why Paul says, forgive one another. That's why the Lord said, love one another. We're all bound up in this. And can I tell you this, dear friends, as I come to my last observation this morning? This church cannot go any further forward than you allow it to go. A lot of people look at the pastor, you know, and they say, oh, he's responsible for the church. And if he's a good preacher, well, the church will go on quite well. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that every single saint, every believer, is mutually responsible for the well-being of the whole. And you must remember that you belong to the Lord and you also belong to me and I to you. We are linked with the same life. We worship the same Lord. We're going to the same heaven. And worldlings have often said, and with reason, looking at a Christian who makes a mess of it, if that is Christianity, I'll have none of it. That's common sense, isn't it? They take you as a sample of what a Christian should be. Not the pastor only, but you, Joe Bloggs. I hope there's nobody called Joe Bloggs here. It's only a name I'm plucking out of my head. But you represent Christ and his church. And that's why we've all got to take responsibility for sin indulged in prevents the success of God's army, of God's people. Now here's the last. Achan's sin in the sight of God. What was it? Well, Achan's sin in the sight of God came under the scrutiny of God's eyes. God saw it. Achan's sin in the sight of God defied the supremacy of God's word. It wasn't simple, it was serious, it was complex. Achan's sin in the sight of God prevented the success of God's army. It was because Achan sinned, the army couldn't conquer. And finally, Achan's sin in the sight of God had to face eventually the severity of God's judgment. God had to deal with his sin. Now, if you look at the chapter, again in broad perspective, if you look at verse 1, there's a fire. And if you look at verse 25, there's another fire. Verse 1 is the fire of God's anger. Verse 25 is the fire of God's judgment. And you say, Pastor, that's not a very comforting message for a Lord's Day morning, but it's biblical. Our God is a consuming fire. And verse 1 tells me that God is angry with sin. And verse 25 tells me that God must judge sin. But he's a God of fire. Now, what would Achan have liked to have done with his sin? Achan would like to have forgotten it, wouldn't he? Just kept that Babylonish garment. Just retained that silver. Just preserved that gold. And gone on as if nothing had ever happened. Achan would love to have said, oh, let's forget all about it. But God doesn't forget all about it. Now, I don't like that because I like to forget all about it. If I go wrong in thought, word, and deed, I like to say, ah, well, tomorrow's a new day. Let's just forget it. But God doesn't forget it. If you look at this chapter, you will see there are four things that happened to Achan's sin. It had to be exposed, hadn't it? That's why these people came up in family by family until at last Achan was taken. Had to be exposed. Then it had to be confessed. Did you notice that? We're back again to verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned. Exposed. Confessed. Thirdly, it had to be condemned. Verse 25. Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And lastly, it had to be judged. So, all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire, and that is everyone who was implicated in some way, knowingly, in his sin. And everything that was contaminated by his sin. Burned. As I finish up this morning, you say, Mr. Cardwell, what has to happen to my sin? If I have sinned, I've learned from your preaching this morning, or I've known all along the way, all along the Christian life, that sin is seen by God. That sin is serious in the eyes of God. That sin can prevent the success of the people of God. What do I do about it? Well, if it's exposed, you'll have to confess it. You'll have to confess it. And you'll have to stand and hear God's condemnation of it. It's sin. And then you'll have to bring it to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, you bore the fire of God upon Calvary. You took my place. You were the sinless one. And the wrath of God fell upon your holy, sinless soul. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all sin. You say, Pastor, could I not just forget it? No. God hasn't forgotten it. Deal with it. Bring it to Calvary and say, I want to be cleansed anew and afresh. And if that happens, if you look at 8 verse 1 as I've now finished, it says this, and the Lord said to Joshua, fear not, neither be dismayed. No worries now. No fear, no sadness, no misery. Just go on and fight. And this time, you'll conquer. Because your heart is right in the sight of God. Grant us, O God, we pray, the joy of being clean in your holy sight, of knowing the infilling of your Holy Spirit, and of being engaged profitably in your holy service. May this be the aspiration of every single believing heart this day. Save us as we prayed already, from just wanting mediocrity in our spiritual lives. Grant that we shall want to be warriors for God, used in his battle and used to his glory and for the good of men. For Jesus Christ's sake we pray.